Hi, you just made the right choice to listen to the Kingdom Move podcast with Pastor Roderick Ejekum. We hope you're inspired even as you make time to listen to this message.
I'll continue from last week. Some of you are not here. Please go listen to the Kingdom Move podcast. It's for your benefit. I think yesterday one of the girls in one of the branches, Domi branch, she came. I think Fraga brought her to CYI. And she was just excited. She just came to me smiling and said, oh, I was looking for a family. I think I found it. Oh, let's put our hands together for Jesus. Amen. People are searching for family, so a place where they feel relevant and called and planted. And he said, the Kingdom of podcast has just been a blessing to me. Amen. So, and I know that I'm not that wise on a normal day. But when I stand here, Jesus says, let me give this guy wisdom before he disgraces me. So I'm just saying that when I stand here to talk, take the podcast serious. It's for your own benefit. Some of the things that I talk about on a normal day, I may not talk about it. But the Lord, because of you and because of somebody close to you, are we good? Okay. So last week, one scripture that I lay emphasis on was from Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8, that says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. And patience is better than pride. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. And patience is better than what? Pride. The end of a matter. And I was saying that the end of a matter, we are talking about the destiny calling of all men. Hallelujah. That some of us, maybe the circumstance by which you are giving birth, your mother went to visit your father in the school to say hello, and then your father touched here and touched there, used words, and then 9 months, here you are. They didn't plan for you, but you are here. And so sometimes when you look at the beginning of your life, sometimes there's not much to say about it. And there's a temptation to think that because your beginning is not glorious or glamorous or something to write home about, it's easy for you to say that there is nothing extraordinary for me at the end. But it is not true, because God is the one that writes the destiny of all men. And God does not finish well. God does not start on, God finishes before he starts. Let me put that way. And God will not start until he has finished well. And so if God has allowed you to come, then it means that the end is good. I'm saying somebody. Yeah, if you are here, it means that the end story is good. That's what it means. So whether your father raped your mother to be here, whatever the circumstance by which you have made it here, you are here. Look at your neighbor, I'm here. Oh, the person says, look at me, I'm here. Hallelujah, I'm here. Shake your neighbor and say, I'm here. It means that the end story is very good. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's very, very good. And last week I talked about between the beginning and the end, how to ensure that the end is as what God has called you to be. Like, I made reference to Dr. Miles Moran said about, he said, it's like your parents paying for you to go into university. Now, the many your parents are paying for you to go to university, they've seen the end. And certainly, they are paying because at the end, they see that you have made it. If they thought you are not going to make it, no parent will waste their money. As for, there are some parents, the minute the child comes and says, I want to go to university, they say, maybe I'm going to go seven seeker. Because the parents don't see anything good. And as long as they don't see anything good, they will not pay their money. But if your parents pay the money, it means that your mother, and chances are your mother seen a dress, the color she will wear. I'm telling you, it's your mother that, your father that the day before he was asking, Atareka Ben Ameshe, you know. Fathers are like that. But your mother, the very day, university, she has seen your end. Are you guys with me? So it's the same way. Even though the end is settled, Between now and then, you have to make choices in alignment with God has for you. That's why it's very good that we know the will of God, so that our choices will go in alignment with his will for us. Does it make sense? Uh-huh. So I want to go listen to a podcast. Today I want to shift it a bit. Amen. Now, whatsoever God has for us, three things stands out. Whatever God has for you, the end that God has for you. One, whatever God has designed for your life, I don't know what it is. It's not subjective whether shoemaker, an engineer. I don't know what's. You know, sometimes when you're talking about purpose and destiny and these are things people want to hear. That's the reason why we like to go to see prophets. So a prophet will tell us, you meet who say, who senior maybe. I'm so obey. That's what we want. And for some time in my life, I was just waiting for God to tell me, I've called you this, I've called you that. You know? Yeah, sometimes those words give some hope. But having worked with God for some time, I've realized that it's not necessarily about those things. It's not necessary because, look, you can be a carpenter. Doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, some of the value of some of these jobs is based on where you are planted. Yeah. One place, when you go and present yourself as an engineer, you don't get anything. Nobody respects you. Because that's not the most valuable thing they want to have. So whether a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, is irrelevant. The most important thing is that whatsoever God has designed you in mind has glory at the end. Yeah, am I making some sense? The reason I'm saying that, listen, those days when I was struggling here and there, waiting for a word, God, give me a word. I go before a prophet, and the prophet tells me, you'll be great. You'll be great. What is that word? What do you do when you'll be great? It's not specific. It's not narrow. Are you with me? You'll be great. And for so long, I thought God didn't say anything. But I didn't realize that God says so much with you be great. It's almost as if God has given me a blank check. I mean, I receive a check where they've signed their name on it and they said, feel it. What are you talking about? Uh-huh. Yeah. That's what I don't care whatever God has, whether a lawyer, doctor, whatever. That's not the most important thing. Just know that God has signed his name under the check and said, whatsoever you apply yourself and you focus and you take advantage of your giftings or whatever, whatsoever that is, you will be glorious. Hey, am I making some sense, somebody? And that is where there's a shift. That's the place where most Africans must have the mental shift. Because we are wallowing our kids to go and do medicine. Yeah. Those days, if you don't say you are going to be, you are going to do medicine, lawyer, engineer, then you there, you haven't come over. It means that when they started the race, you don't know what is left and right. I remember those days in Achimota school, when the primary, before you write a BEC, they gathered us at the secondary, the Agri Chapel. Yeah, they brought career something to come and talk to us before we choose the courses. And all the people they brought a pilot. Uh-huh. They brought a lawyer and those jobs. But there was no painter there. There's no painter there. Meanwhile, now I know a painter. When he shows you one painting, how much it costs, you want to leave that medicine you are doing. You can see that you are wasting your years. I'm telling you, I'm just painting. Sometimes I look at it and say, so how much is the paint? How much is the canvas? How much is all this that you are using? And how much are you selling? But meanwhile, people are into it. They see it and they want to give all their money for it. Hey. How many things I'm saying, somebody? So don't start with a lawyer. When you come and say a prophetic word, and you shall be great, say, lawyer. No, stop. Shake the one next to you and say, Sir Jimmy, and tell the person next to you. Oh, shake your name and say, Sir Jimmy, and Sir Jimmy, and are you with me? Yeah. No, it's... I'm not making some sense, somebody. Whatsoever God's hand in, glory is in it. That's one thing you have to notice. Whatever God puts his hand on or in, there's glory. Why? Because God is big. So everything he does is big. You have to understand, when you talk about glory, one of the things you talk about is size. It means that your life's impact will be more than you think. That's what it means. So you could be in a corner somewhere, a man of great skill, and by the time you realize your life is touching people from all over, all around. Sending people that will be associated with you even shock you. Do you know that even judges have friends who are plumbers? Yeah, because a judge needs a plumber. Be the top judge and don't get a good plumber and see you. You sit on your own shit. What are you talking about? I'm not making some sense, somebody. So even judges in courts who respect, they need good plumbers. The times when I moved to my house, I was looking for a good plumber. There's any skilled man, when you hear, when you're even so happy that you have their number. That's what you're talking about. Most of people are lawyers and nobody knows them. They are lawyers, their influence is going nowhere. Yeah. Hey. Whatever God has called you, glory is in it. Glory. Someone say glory. Someone say glory. Yeah. It's big. And that's what started when I got that word and I was struggling, that's what God started shifting my mind. He said, whatsoever I've called you, this is going to be big. And guess what? You know, some of you know the story. I was struggling in school. My left and right was, when you mention classroom pair, I become nervous. You mention exams, then something's happening to me. And then I've received a word and says, great. What is that great? Are you with me? But what God needed for me is to shift my mind. Paradigm shift. Amen. I don't care which corner you're coming from. I don't care what your father's issues, your mother's issue. Look, I always say that as long as God has been able to touch my life. I was saying to me yesterday, when we started this ministry, I said, look, when I look at my lifespan with this vision, I've walked more than I've driven. I've walked more. I've walked. Hey. When I stopped working small, no, I started having pot belly. I have walked. We walked. I'm telling you, we walked. But the fact that we're walking didn't stop the vision we're carrying. Hallelujah. It didn't stop the vision we're carrying. So you may be walking, your father, I was telling them, after 3 years or 4 years being at Chimota School, secondary school, ministry and all those things. And then one of the badge that got out, I was, I think I was going somewhere, 10 a.m. You know how 10, between 10, 9, 10, 11, 12, the sun. And I was going somewhere and I was not getting a car, so I took a short shot to Christian Village. I was standing there, the sun was meeting me. You know, the kind of sun that bends you and say, oh God, why is that forsaking me? And then one of the boys, that's what the boys, he escaped to pass by, driving. He didn't see me. I said, when I saw him, my heart sank into my stomach. I said, oh God. Even the small boy is driving. Oh man. I remember. I don't know. I think I went to a time of being discouraged. While I was standing there, my head, I was like, oh God. I knew it wasn't his car. He just finished school. He couldn't have worked for it. His father's car. But his father's car, when you look at him, gives you a picture that, Charlie, the guy is going somewhere. Yeah. I was just standing there and said, Jesus, is your word true? I'm telling you, standing there, right. You know, some of us, we are riding our father's cars. Some of us, our fathers are waiting for their father's cars. Hey! But I'm telling you, it will not stop the glorious end God has for you. Am I making some sense, somebody? Yeah. Shift, look at it that way. Look, let's do your best in school. Listen, that one day, wasted opportunity, it's a wise decision. Do your best. But even when doors are shut on you and all you have is a small space, as long as God is there, I'm telling you, it will at the end bring glory. And that's the story of Joseph. Every door was shut. But the more they shut the door, the more they were making the story more glorious. Because from the prison, straight into the palace. What a glorious story. If that says, Joseph, everything was okay. He went, he was in Potiphar's house. He was flying, he was jumping, having fun. And then they move him from there into the palace. He said, they are normal. It's normal. Yeah, step by step. You're born, you went to Engobet. Whatever, Engobet or Odebet. I don't know, that's the school. From there, you go to Achimota. From there, you go to Legon Ashesi. From there, you go and do your master's. If you fail, that's the story. If you fail, that's the story. If you fail, that's the story. Because the pathway is so straight. The story will be how you feel, and now we'll sit and take some notes. But if you are from somewhere, nobody remembers your school name. Even yourself, you struggle to mention your school name. There's a DA at the end. You used to go for the morning shift and the afternoon shift. Barely made it to a secondary school somewhere else. Then you find your way to some university, and then you become top. That is the story. Hey, am I making some sense to somebody? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just believe that there's glory at the end of what God has called you for. Are you in the house? Okay, the second thing. Are you in the house? Whatsoever God has designed your destiny to be is to bring you fulfillment. It's to bring you what? Fulfillment. That you will live a fulfilled life. Guys, there are those who have so much money in banks, but they are not fulfilled. Never make that mistake. See, I've said it here before. Poor people think money brings fulfillment. And that's understandable because you don't have it. It's understandable. So when they are craving, they are going for it, it's okay. Even the rich will not blame you. But one thing they know is that you don't know what it looks like to have money but not feeling fulfilled because you are not necessarily in the path of your destiny. I'm a very fulfilled person. There are never times where I feel like I should have lived another life. No. If I come, I'll come and do ministry again. I just say God should shorten the wilderness years. And that does do. I nearly give up on you, God. But ministry fulfills me. Talking to young people fulfills me. I can talk to a young person for so long. I can be, it's not job. It's fulfillment. Am I making some sense? Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's give God some glory. Amen. Now, whatsoever God has called you is for your fulfillment. And you have to look at that. Look at your destiny in line with what fulfills me. Because here is the thing. Is it John Piper that says, look, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. Why would God give you a craving and never feel it? It means God is a wicked God. And God gives us a sense of fulfillment because he is going to feel that. That sense that you have must be filled. It must be met. And your calling, your purpose, your destiny is supposed to bring you that. I remember those days when I was deciding on, you know, I was trying to find what God has called me for. One of the things they used to ask, the books and things I read ask is that, when you get up in the morning, say, just see yourself on Monday mornings. Because Monday mornings are the most difficult days. I've actually read somewhere where it says heart attacks happen more on Monday mornings. Yeah. Because people are waking up to things they don't want to do. Places they don't want to go. Bosses they don't want to see. It's different from hard work, what you love. They just don't want to be there. But they have no choice. They're giving birth, you find themselves here. Some of us even actually never had the courage to pursue and to ask those questions. What are the things that bring me fulfillment in light of God's purpose of my life? So I remember that was the question I used to ask. And here's even the interesting thing. I am here living a fulfilled life because I did not follow the automatic steps that a lot of people pursue. Finishing the school, high school, you have to go to university. Why? Because you have to go to university. Why? Now, I got a chance to ask those questions. Why? Because when I was in secondary school, I was failing. And I knew what failure looks like. And I didn't like it. And I didn't want to continue failing. So I should go to university. Why? Why? I didn't hear. Let me go continue failure. No. Because the unhappiness that I felt in secondary school, sometimes it took God to take me through. Oftentimes suicidal and all. But because of God, man cannot allow herself to think about suicide because you're afraid of going to hell. But we're very suicidal. Because after you sit in class, they write maths that the more they keep writing the maths, the more you feel like, wait, Jimmy, you feel like, who dare you dare? You are gone. This is why it doesn't work. It may feel like because I have this, I'm making you laugh, but it's real. Look, it was SU and things that were keeping me. Because I was relevant in SU and the rest. So when I get up, but classroom, ish. So when I went through that 3 years, I told myself, university, I'll only step there when I know why I must be there. It's one of the things that led me to ask the questions, why do we go to school? You remember sometime I've shared, actually want our students, the common room meeting, they know I've shared this over and over again. The Holy Spirit one time, you know those troubling times, I was in church or going somewhere around Abeka Junction. Then the Holy Ghost asked me, why do you go to school? Why do you have to go to school? I said, to get education. He says, okay, truth be told, the day they give you your certificate, what you don't know in this life is more than what you know. So, school doesn't actually solve the knowledge problem. I said, money. Then he says, I recently see professors without money. They have all knowledge, but they are poor. They don't have enough money. I said all, and I realized that he wants to prove a point. And he says, the reason why we go to school is to acquire the spirit of learning. Is to acquire the spirit of learning because you learn your way to success. And learning doesn't stop. So what God was trying to do is that even though I'm not in a four-cornered environment, I must still continue learning and I'm in school. And that shifted for me. It changed a lot about the way I should think and see myself. So wherever I was, whatever I find God is calling me to do, apply myself to learning, and then I did with all my heart. So everything my hand was in was giving me fulfillment. I didn't need a title, even to date. And I realized, title has never moved me. All the titles I've had, recent titles I have, I don't know where I place, is somewhere among my socks. But some people, title lead them first. Hey, am I making some sense? I'm not still going to quit school. That's what I'm saying. What does the assignment do and the rest? They're just supposed to give you a posture towards learning. That's all. The assignment, the questions, and all that. I've even said that I believe that you should leave school with more questions, not no more answers. Yeah. If you leave school with answers, it means that they taught you wrongly. Because you are supposed to ask. How many of us have asked, why are we poor? Because school tells you why we should be poor. Because they tell you the micro, all. they use all those terms and all those things and says that this is the reason why the African is poor. So we settle with what they've given to us. So even when we need to ask the hard questions, why, we already stopped by the answers they've given us. But guess, any economy that ever developed, any people that ever developed themselves, they had to jump out and ask themselves some critical questions. And then come to some conclusion that, look, no, you may give me this answer, but it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't suffice. And we want to find an alternative. I think I read today where they said city business, one of them. He said the World Bank predicts that Ghana's economy by the end of the year would have grown 5%. Is it 5%? With average across sub-Saharan Africa being 3.5. And then the comment and somebody said, people stop this foolishness. Is that this thing that you're telling us? That's the reason why the African leaders, they are not doing anything. Come and tell us all these things. What are we doing with it? No, I'm not saying that these people are not learned. I'm saying it's fine. But check. Who was it that made the quote? He said, look, the ones that make the difference are those who resist and refuse the excuses that are given or what is there. They have to, and until the African gets to that place, say, look, I don't care the reasons you are giving to me. I just have to break out of it. Why? Because my destiny is for glory. The end must be glorious. So I'm not going to sit here and let you tell me all this and put me to sleep. Hey, am I making some sense, somebody? Yeah. Glory and satisfaction. You have to be satisfied in your calling. You have to be satisfied. The same way, ladies and gentlemen, are making a decision to marry. Better a cool gentleman who brings you satisfaction. Than the one who rides the car but gives you apprehensions. Yeah. Sometimes you see some people and then you're unsettled. You can't tell, but you're unsettled. You're on edge. You're not sure. Meanwhile, other people, when you're there, you realize that let your hair loose, right? You can be cool. You can be yourself. You are calm. You can charge. You don't want that one. We usually want to meet societal adequate requirements. And you go and pick something, and very soon they are blowing you. You can't talk about it. You will be satisfied. Amen. Amen. Shake your neighbor and say, you will be satisfied. You will be in your calling. Shake your neighbor and say, you will be satisfied. You will be satisfied in your calling. Oh, are you shaking your neighbor? You will be. Hallelujah. Satisfied. And then the other one is, it looks as if it's the same, but it's slightly different. It's gratitude. When we are walking in our destiny and our calling, our mouths are full of gratitude. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Small, you say just thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you with me? Because we are made for the praise of God. We are made for his praise. I knew I was not called to watch football when Asamaja made me start asking God a question and doubting God. I knew that's not my calling. I can't put my heart into this. I said, me, I'll watch Ghana football when they are the finals. They are the finals. I haven't finished. Last 5 minutes, and they are leading by two. That's the only time I will come to watch. Because the thing that will make me question God, no, it's not. I want things that will fill my mouth with gratitude. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Places where you are that you realize that you can't help but to say thank you. The indications of the places God has called you to be. Friendships that you can't help. It's not that they organize music and bang bang to come and say, lift up your hands and thank God. Am I making some sense? You see, this work, any work, if you're going to succeed, you have to work hard. Even when it's your calling, you have to work hard. Am I making some sense? And sometimes in working hard, you know, sometimes and people come looking for you, there's a tendency for you to feel overwhelmed. And that's okay. We all get overwhelmed. We all get burned out sometimes and all that. But sometimes I think it makes people walk in pride. Remember the scripture? It says the end of a matter is better and patience is better than. When you take my phone, I'm on multiple groups. But anytime they ask me again, Pastor Rod, because of this and that, I want to put you on a group. I don't go and say, hey, I'm tired. This is it. No. I says, go ahead. Because here's the thing. Are you guys in the house? We lose sight of the fact that we don't have forever. And our sense of importance is not forever. Today, it looks as if you are the one that everybody is looking for. So you are throwing your weight about. Tomorrow, nobody will be calling you. They'll be calling the next most gifted. And trust me, it's just around the corner. They'll be calling the next most anointed. And trust me, it's just around the corner. That's the reason why even though I get busy and all that, I try to make time for everybody. Because our importance is not forever. How many of you last time you went for a family wedding and things? Do you see how they treated the old people? Is it? Yes. They just acknowledge them one, two. They forget them. Old people are forgotten quickly. Because now they don't know the Eastern anymore. They are saying, you think you are the one you are bustling because you have done your hair. There are certain songs that the GHS boys have started singing you don't even know about. Your sense of relevance about going out. Very soon, you are going to start a song that you say, I knew me there. I knew so, no. Yeah. Very soon, you see, okay, you go among GHS people and see how they treat you. Is that mama? The auntie. you are the one they will go and gossip about. Am I making some sense, somebody? Yeah. What am I saying? Wherever you are needed, and wanted is a place you should be grateful for. Wherever you are wanted or needed, your relevance stands, you should be grateful for that. And I've seen some of, I know that a lot of young people, some of you that serve in various, probably, if you listen to me, your ministries or what, or even those in CY, a lot of you don't see the how important it is that you have a place that you are wanted. That somebody will call you, are coming for a meeting, they'll call you and say, oh, Ben, please, can you come and sing today? Sure. Say, come and sing. Come and use your gifts. And say, oh, mo ha drink crowd though. Hey. There's a young child, a child around 5 years will sing 500 times better than you. Yeah. So when you have a generation that sees you, do you know what I mean by sees you? They celebrate you, they look forward to you. You must be grateful. You must be grateful. Hey, have you ever given money to somebody and they say, oh no, I'm fine? Yeah. So they come and tell me, say, I'm fine. No, no. They say, oh, but it was just money. No, so, no, I'm fine. They don't even need your money anymore. Today, somebody needs your money. Today, a ministry needs your money. Today, they say, oh, you're worrying me. And you don't. Am I talking to myself or I'm talking to somebody? Yeah. You must be grateful. You have a leader looking for you. You must be grateful. Somebody calls you, check up on you. You must be grateful. Someone says, come and serve. Come and pack the chairs. You better lift your waist and go and pack some chairs. Hey, am I making some sense, somebody? Yeah. Because it's just a matter of time. I won't lie to you. When I clocked 40, it was a shock. I don't know what happened to the years. I know she's surprised. When I clocked 40, I was surprised. I don't know what happened. It's as if I slept and somebody woke me up. 40. Hello, 40. How many of you have watched Friends? Joey crying. Say, oh, God. I thought we had an agreement. Let them go, not me. It just sneaks up on you. And as the years pass, so is your relevancy. Yeah. So as I stand here, I calculated. There'll come a time, don't invite me for anything. Not because I wasn't once anointed, it's just because somebody else is also anointed with the vim and everything. With the right dressing, with everything. He'll go everywhere, he'll see everything without bald head. And the hair, everything. Yeah. So, I just make it some sense, somebody. Yeah. So if I were you, I'll be grateful. Live a life of gratitude. And serve with all I have. Serve with all you have. Some of you are hibernating. In your youth, you're hibernating. In your youth, you're hibernating. In your youth. Someone know I'm resting. Okay, yes. Introverts, you need. But we rest to come back. That's what rest is not a perpetual state. Rest should be a perpetual state. Let me go theology and all those things. But I think there's a message I listened to Bishop Dr. Miles Monroe. I forgot him, but I remember one part that caught my attention. He said, look, those in heaven, they are not doing anything major. They are not floating. Those are things that they are floating. They are not floating. They are not doing anything major. Do you know why? Because the next big thing hangs and hinges on us while on earth. Because the real battlefield and what is happening is here. Everything here is determining the timeline of God. Those that go to, if you die today, you're just going to wait for those here who are on the battlefield. And you've gotten a chance to be on the battlefield. Do you get what I mean? There will be the time where you die right now and you see the state of rest you enter. But until you are dead, live. Hey, shake the one next to you until you are found dead. Live. Shake the one next until you are found dead. What? Live. 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 Live your purpose. Live your calling. Live out your destiny. Live. Win a soul. Hey, am I making some sense, somebody? Join the prayer team. Pray. When they are worshiping, worship. When they are when they are giving, give. Just because you are alive, you can give something. Because some of you, if you remove it from your offering, nothing will happen to the offering. It's the truth. Some of you, if you don't show up, offering is the same. If you show up, offering the same. You're not living. You're not you're not impacting anything. Oh. Hey, are you in the house? All right. Today I came to encourage you. It's encouragement. It's encouragement. It's encouragement. Amen? Live. Young people, live. You don't know what you have. I wish I could pick what is inside and put it in your head and make you realize that, look, you have time. I'm still young. 40, I'm young. But I appreciate time now. Because if we can close 40, the next 40 is just around the corner. Yeah. One advice somebody gave me about birthday, said, anytime you celebrate your birthday, just double the number. That's all. Yeah, I'm 20. No, double it. The next 20 years celebration is what? 40. He says, now live in light of the next 20 years. Then all of a sudden, the foolishness will stop. My baby, let's go color town. Go and color town. Town is waiting for you. Can color and come. Hey. Are you in the house? Let's live a life of gratitude, appreciating every moment we have. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful that somebody calls you to ask you how you are living your life. I'm telling you, be thankful that somebody cares enough to ask you what are the decisions you are making about your sexual life. Be thankful that somebody even thinks about it and wants to ask you that question. Are you with me? Yeah. Be thankful that somebody says you didn't come for meeting. Tonight I came to challenge you. Our lives are for God's glory. And I don't care whether you're going to be a plumber, it doesn't matter. Whether you're going to be a lawyer, I don't care. I always say that the painter I've met changed my life. Because it made me realize that it doesn't matter where you are. If you have God's purpose and God's will, pursuing God's agenda for your life and seeking to glorify God, it will shock you the influence God will give you. And I believe without a shadow of doubt that the next great thing that's supposed to happen in the world is supposed to happen in Africa. As some of us, it's supposed to happen to Africans. We just have to allow the Lord to shift our thinking. Open our hearts to God's plan for our lives. And I know that great men and women will come out of this place. Hallelujah. Great men and women are going to influence the world. May God use your gift to influence the world. Hallelujah. May God use your heart to influence the world. Ask your neighbor, what are you giving to the Lord? What are you giving to God? Tell neighbor, God wants to use it. God is going to use it. God is going to use it. Tell neighbor, God is going to use it. God is going to use it. God is going to use it. Tell me about the end of a matter is better than its beginning. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you and God bless you for listening to this message. Now you can get interactive with Pastor Roderick Ejikum on his social media handles. On Facebook, it's Roderick Ejikum. Instagram, Roderick Ejekum, and on Twitter at Roderick Ejekum. You could also get interactive with Christ for Youth International on Facebook. It's Christ for Youth International. Instagram is at ConnectCYI and on Twitter at ConnectCYI. This has been the Kingdom Move Podcast. Thank you and stay blessed.